A warm welcome to this series of sound recordings entitled What Saith the Scriptures? Recordings in which we hope to give a brief outline of the message and content of the books of the Bible. This material, adopted by Pastor Jack Seaton, came from anonymous notes in an old edition of a Bible consisting of 11 small pocket-sized volumes. By the way, the series appeared in print during 1977 in the Wicket Gate magazine. May you enjoy the outlines of the various books of the Bible and find they are of benefit to you. What saith the Scriptures? Genesis. Genesis, the first book of the Bible, is so called from the Greek word meaning creation or generation. In the Hebrew it means in the beginning. It is also the first book of the Pentateuch, a Greek word signifying the fivefold volume, and by which the first five books of the Bible are commonly understood. To the Jews, they form one volume under the title of the Law, or the Book of the Law. Viewed on its purely historical character, it occupies a unique position among books, for it alone reveals to us the act of creation, unfolding the first beginnings of all things, and in its religious aspect it holds no less important position, for it reveals to us God as our Creator, who fashioned us, the last and greatest of all his works, after his own image, and breathed into us his own spirit. It shows us the happiness and innocence of man's first state. And whilst it records his fall, it also gives us the first promise of deliverance and redemption. Although the results of scientific discoveries may seem to some to be at variance with the time and order of the work of creation, as recorded in sublime simplicity in the book of Genesis, we may remember that science is still in a state of progress and very far from having attained to a completeness of perception, and we may rest assured that when it has reached a fuller development, its record will be found to be in harmony with the inspired book. Perhaps no portion of the sacred text has been, especially of recent years, exposed to so much minute and searching critical investigation as the book of Genesis. Doubts have been thrown upon its authorship, but both the Jews and the Christian Church ascribe the book to Moses, in company with the other books of the Pentateuch. Moses had ample opportunity to write during the 40 years of his shepherding life in Midian, and again during the 40 years of wanderings in the wilderness. It is written by one who was well acquainted with the geography of the countries traversed by the patriarchs, as no doubt Moses was, and the writer shows an intimate knowledge of Egyptian life and manners, which Moses would undoubtedly have possessed by his 40 years' residence at Pharaoh's court. But when we consider the book of Genesis and its religious, apart from its historical character, the proofs pointing towards Moses as its author are very strong. On examining the book, there is found to be a definite purpose kept steadily in the writer's mind throughout. The account of the creation and the first history of primitive man, the flood and the dispersion, gradually lead on to the introduction of Abraham, to whose fortunes and those of his descendants the rest of the book is devoted, bringing the patriarch, Jacob, down to Egypt, and closing with his death and that of Joseph. Who better than Moses, the great leader who was God's instrument in raising the Jewish race from their condition of abject and cruel slavery into a solidly compacted nation? Who better than he to describe God's dealings with their forefathers, to show to them that God, the Creator of all things, was the same God that had watched over them in the miseries of Egyptian bondage and had heard their cry, who had made them his chosen people and selected them from among the nations to be the depositaries of his truth and to be his witnesses to a world lying in wickedness, and out of whom would come the Saviour who would bring back to himself the creatures fallen from him through sin. To understand the book of Genesis and the other books of the Old Testament aright, they must be read in the light of the New Testament. The significance of the one is revealed in the other. From the very time of the first sin and its detection, the promise of the coming deliverer is given. Abraham, the friend of God, whose faith had been severely tested, receives the promise that he will be made a father to many nations, and that in him all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. To Isaac the promise is renewed, and again to Jacob, and so onward throughout the whole of the Old Testament, the promise from time to time is renewed, is ever kept in view, growing more distinct as God's overruling purpose became more manifest until its fulfillment in the advent of Christ. I hope you found those thoughts on Genesis interesting. The next recording in this series entitled What Saith the Scriptures is on the book of Exodus. The Wicket Gate magazine, the host for this series, is found at www.wicketgate.co.uk.